You are listening to the Mighty Warriors 3 podcast, special review episode of The Punisher, Season 2.
Help! Help! I mean, help against my will! Help!
He's never going to make it out of here alive.
Yeah, I'm going to take my horse to the old town road. I'm going to ride till I can't no more. I'm going to take my horse to the old town road. I'm going to ride till I can't no more.
I got the horses in the back. Horse stock is attached. Head is matted black. Got the bushes black to match. Riding on a horse.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, broadcasting to you live from Godzilla's footprint. I am Bri Bri, and this is the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel podcast, where we discuss all things Marvel-related and sometimes at length off the recording. We discuss Gojira and Kaiju and things like that. Once again, I am the man who has been stomped into a million pieces and forced to watch his beloved ballpark crumble to ash, Bri Bri, broadcasting to you from Boston. Joining me are the men who have also witnessed the terror and glory that is Godzilla, from Houston, who I think he's, Austin, rather. No, whatever. I don't know. It's all the same thing. It's all one big country.
Yeah,
state.
You're from fucking Boston, you fucking which doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah, I know. I am nothing but a radioactive whisper
no,
in the wind, sir.
You're not even
and,
that.
That... Anyway, that's Ben from Austin. I think he's relatively safe. He's probably going to have to carry on the legacy of humanity. So, Ben, I hope you're not taking that responsibility, you know. I hope you're taking it not lightly. So, you know.
Latino heat.
And also joining us from New York, who, you know, when it comes to destroying American cities, the giant monsters kind of passed right over New York. Can't really say I blame them. It's Taser. Taser, welcome to the show.
Hey, look, that's not exactly true. I got to look up and watch big old giant mammoth testicles swinging as the damn thing walked by and knocking over.
You rewatched Transformers 2?
Hey!
Were the giant monsters racist caricatures?
Well, you know, you can make a claim about Rodan. Just saying, you can make a claim about Rodan, and actually maybe Mothra too, for that matter. But, like I said, I'm glad Mothra died, and I'm glad Boston got destroyed. No, actually, I'm not glad Boston got destroyed. I'm glad Fenway Park got destroyed.
Anyway, once again, we are the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast. We talk about all things Marvel-related, comic books, movies, television. And appropriately enough, as I sit here flipping through a copy of Punisher the End that I found in near pristine condition at my comic book shop being sold for cover price, if you know that. Yeah, I was pretty stoked with it. We are here to talk about Season 2 of Marvel's and Netflix's The Punisher.
Yay.
And, yeah. I mean, I know our record with reviewing the Netflix shows has been kind of selective, and we stand by that decision because I feel like we can accurately gauge if something needs an entire show to itself or not. But this was one I feel like... I don't know. I wasn't keen one way or the other. Taser was pretty secure in saying we need to discuss it, if only because it was the last season of The Punisher we're going to get. I'm more falling on the side of needing a show now because I think this is one of the starker examples of a show's decline in quality from season to season. And I feel like that will be a recurrent theme throughout. But we're going to get into that.
If they were still doing the stuff.
yeah, that's true. I mean, we only have the two seasons to really judge it on because Punisher is the second to last show that will arise out of Marvel and Netflix's partnership. The next one will be Jessica Jones Season 3, which debuts on June 14th, I want to say. Which that might just get a brief mention in the show. I don't think we'll devote an entire show to that, although it will be the last.
Because we hate women, apparently.
Well, I mean, I'm more than willing to do it because it's going to be the last of the Marvel-Netflix partnership, so it's going to be the last we see of any of these characters on the shows for
a
while. Hey, you know, you joke, but as long as someone leaves the recording equipment running, I will do it.
Hey, if you want me to come on, I will happily come on and let you talk for an hour and 30 minutes about the quality of
Oh, I can't do an hour and 30 minutes. I'd get out 45 minutes tops, and I don't even know what this season's about.
I want somebody, please, to take that entire thing out of context. Please. Just do it.
Well, you are the one who edits this thing, Ben, so you, all you got to do is just choppy-choppy and get yourself a nice little soundbite there. So, but yeah, so we're discussing the Punisher Season 2, and just a little preface. Punisher Season 1 was one of the more widely regarded of the Netflix shows, among not just us, but among critics in general. You know, it's up there in the realm of Daredevil's Season 1, and I would argue as well Daredevil Season 3, the first half of Luke Cage, and depending on your perspective and your taste, probably Jessica Jones Season 1. That, again, depends on what your taste is. But it is one of the more widely regarded shows. It blended Frank Castle, you know, a mix of what he does best, which is just killing criminals and punishing the wicked, with a sense of, you know, modern day issues, but as well as a different take on the character that is a man who's been deeply traumatized by his past. And, you know, you get certain bits of hot button issues here and there, but that's not really the point. The point is it's Frank Castle. And if you're a Punisher fan, like our dear friend, Mr. Eaglestein is, you know, you tend to walk away feeling pretty satisfied, I think, with Season 1. Then you'd co-sign that general assessment, right?
Co-sign what?
Jesus Christ. You would co-sign that overall Punisher Season 1 is generally a fulfilling watch. It's a good experience.
Yeah, it gives the authentic Punisher experience for the most part, while also being a very good social commentary. Yeah, it's very fucking good. I loved it, which is why this one hurts so much.
Yeah, so Season 2 debuted on January 18th of this year. And it was canceled a month later, almost to the day, February 18th, it was canceled. And this season was hyped up as the realization of Billy Russo fully transforming into Jigsaw. You know, the as close as someone like Punisher can have to an arch enemy when he just kills all of his enemies, basically. It's one of the closest you can get without also involving the Kingpin, but that's kind of Daredevil's playground, so we don't really get that. And yeah, so how we normally do these is we break it down with the good, the bad, and the ugly, or rather the miscellaneous, the future, you know, third kind of a catch-all thing. But I feel like since we're going to get through it really quickly, I want to spend more time on what we found fault with. Let's just try to get the good out of the way, I guess, what little there can be found, or, you know, what can be found based on your perspective. So, Ben, you're the Punisher fanboy. I'm going to throw it to you first. What among Season 2 did you actually like
nothing
from this season? Nothing
well,
at
okay,
all?
Okay, no. The Jigsaw stuff.
You actually like the Jigsaw stuff? Because yeah, that seems to be one of the more divisive issues.
Yeah, I mean, it was weird. The whole sexual relationship, that was part was weird. But, like, the idea of him trying to basically, he was not just meant, like, physically scarred from the fight with Frank Castle, but mentally so much that he was put in a coma. I like that stuff, him trying to rebuild and trying to reclaim what he had, and of course starts doing criminal activities. I like that arc. That's probably the only thing I liked about it. And it thankfully got more played in the other fucking storyline that ultimately meant shit, which is like, why did you have me waste my fucking time? Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah, because and I thought the actor who played Jigsaw was still really good.
That is Ben Barnes, ladies and gentlemen. Ben Barnes.
Like, because he has Jigsaw's a nobody creep in the comic, but like this guy has like a odd charisma about him that like you want to listen to him, the way he talks, even when he's like scarred and fucked up like that. And I like the mask that he had. A nice callback to the comics, even though he wasn't really that scarred up, you know, when considering what Frank did to him, you think he would have been more scarred up. I don't know. It's like, that's the only thing I could say that I like. I mean, besides, like, even Frank himself, I hated in this season, like, of the shit they had him do and, like, everything around him. But, like, yeah, that the Jigsaw stuff, which should have been the only focus, was the only good spot for me.
All right. Fair enough. Taser, what did you find that you enjoyed from Season 2 of The Punisher?
Plot-wise, I enjoyed the stuff with the psycho preacher dude.
John Pilgrim.
Yeah, I enjoyed him a lot more.
Hello there, Pilgrim.
The return to the Billy Russo shit. Basically, all of the New York stuff, which was the greater portion of the season, I hated. You know, it was basically season one, part two. And, you know, that was something that they... That should have been like a season three, you know, where you find out that, you know, Billy Russo is still alive and whatever the fuck. I like that, you know, when it starts off, it's Frank out of New York and just trying to live a regular life. You know, I thought that was pretty cool. And up until, what was it, episode.
Season three ends with the assault on the precinct, and season four starts them back in New York. Or episode four, rather. Episode three. And episode
see, you're
four.
Doing it too. But yeah, thank you.
I'm doing it too.
No, I thought that was, you know, that was pretty good. You know, that was a good start to something new. Yeah, it would have been, okay, more people getting violent. And applauding the choices for heavies by whatever group that was, they had women in their crew that were trying to do some killing. I was like, yeah, that's right. That chick knew how to fire a gun. But yeah, then he goes back to New York, and then it's like, oh, look, it's Nalani, and oh, look, it's Billy again, and oh, look, it's, you know, dude who tries to help vets, and oh, I could have done without New York. I really could have. And this was a missed opportunity.
Well, New York don't need you either, buddy.
Yay, whoa. You know, I could have done without New York. So I like this stuff, anything that took place outside of New York. There you go. That's what I loved.
All right. That's fair. And I'll echo that, because when I first sat down to watch the new season, I binged the first four episodes straight through. And for a while there, I will admit season two had me, I don't want to say tricked, but it had me convinced it could keep this team. Because the episode one is obviously he meets the young con artist in, you know, she's being chased in the bar. And he tracks down all these Russian dudes, and he develops something of a relationship with one of the bartenders there. And you get a little bit of a slice of life that Frank maybe could have if he was a little more functional. And, you know, if this shit didn't just keep happening to him. Because you get the sense he's just kind of been traveling around from place to place, not really set on any one destination since the end of season one. You know, episode two, you get more of the background of, you know, kind of what's going on with Madani, who I still really enjoyed her performance. I thought she did a real good job. And, you know, I thought that season, you know, with Frank being on the run with the girl and them having to outrun these gangsters, and, you know, that leads into season three, Jesus Christ, I'm doing it. God damn it, Taser, I blame you. With episode three, where you have the assault on the precinct, you know, it's a really solid first three episodes of content of them just showing you, okay, this is what Frank does. And you even get the little bit of background with those two ultra white, ultra national conservative Christian people, whoever the fuck, I don't even remember their names, honestly. And you get a little bit with John Pilgrim, who, to his credit, I give that dude as well a lot of credit. I thought he did a bang up job this season for what he was given. Honestly, I thought he did a real good job. And then you get to season four, and the momentum and everything just stops dead in its tracks. And it's like, well, that's not... I don't know. I feel like there was some sort of misstep there. I agree with you, Taser, when you say that you should have kept the focus on Frank trying to get this girl and outrun these guys and maybe leave Russo for season three, you know, and that shouldn't have been a whole other focus, because that was one of the more boring parts. But that being said, we hit all the high notes. You know, you got the re-return of Turk Barrett, albeit briefly, in episode five, I want to say it was. Five or six. Like that, but you got to see Turk Barrett again, and you also got a little bit of Karen Page, which was nice. And there was an eagle eye Easter egg someone did, where when she's walking to meet Frank and she flashes her business card at somebody, it's Nelson, Murdoch, and Page. So it's all three of them starting a new firm together, which is kind of made my little Daredevil heart season
Didn't
three.
Didn't they confirm that in the last? Oh fuck! Oh, wank off.
That, season three was just kind of them. We'll do it together. That was sort of the realization of that's what they went and they did, and it wasn't like they just kind of left that hanging. It was like,
yay!
It was.
Best
I thought it was a sweet again. Moment. You know? Yeah, and although I would have loved to see old Red get in on the on the action a bit, but you know what? That's it was fine as is. So, anybody else have any last minute good things to add to the pile before we move on?
I greatly...
Madani's still looking as pretty as ever.
Fair enough.
I greatly enjoyed watching AOC get tossed out that window and was disappointed when she only fell two stories and survived.
Wait, who's AOC in the show?
Ocasio Cortez, the...
Yeah, one, no, I'm saying who is she in?
The therapist.
I think he's.
Oh,
yeah.
Are you saying all Latino women look alike?
No.
Also, if you're gonna say that, at least call her Maggie Sawyer, goddammit, because that's who she was most known for playing on Supergirl. So there.
But she looked like Ocasio Cortez.
But so... she is Maggie Sawyer.
But
so.
No, she's not. Maggie Sawyer is a fake character. Nah.
Fine, then call her Floriana Lima, you jerk.
I'm going to call her Ocasio. I'm going to call her Casio. There you go. She's a watch. Yeah. So,
she's an out-of-date cassette player. Okay, cool. okay, moving right along then. This is the portion that I think is going to dominate most of this episode, and it's the bad. And Ben, once again, being the hardcore Punisher fan, I'm going to throw it right to you. Take us through some of the stuff that you thought really dragged down Punisher season 2.
The kid! The fucking... Why? Why do we have to fucking put this... Look, I know she's not a kid, she's a teenager, but she's a fucking babu. So, why the fuck did we have to stick an annoying, dumbest shit kid inside the story? I don't understand it. It could have been an older hot woman, and it had no sexual interest in Frank, because Frank is an emotionally sexist robot because of his wife being dead. You could have done that, you know? But, like...
Well, no, that's not true. He had sex with that chick from, in what, episode 2?
Yeah, that doesn't... Yeah, fuck that. So I hate Frank. Frank should not have an active sex drive, okay? The man only thinks about murder and death and his own death. That's all he thinks about.
I will say, actually, that just made me think of one thing, which is I follow this guy who really loves, the Punisher character on, like, Twitter or Tumblr or something. And there's a storyline where this guy who was targeting his daughter is, like, this psychopath, and she's this hot, busty blonde, and she gets a gun who she was aiming a castle taken off her, and she's just like, why do we have to fight? There's so many more fun things people like us could be doing. And without messing up B, he just looks at her and goes, not even with a rented dick, and just stares her down completely. And that's the kind of guy Punisher should be, just completely focused on his mission, not giving in to any of the human kind of bullshit.
Yeah,
you know, the first story season.
Yeah. And it's like, and that's the thing, that other thing that pisses me off is the, like, because I'm not gonna lie, the Pilgrim stuff could have been interesting if it was the fucking focus, because the first couple episodes make you believe, okay, we got a new threat. We got this weird Christian group going on that could have had the proper build, and they're probably doing some corrupt evil shit. Okay, fine. Oh, no, here's Kevin. I mean, not Kevin. He looks like a Kevin. I'm going to call him Kevin for now.
Kevin.
Kevin is clearly dealing with his emotional trauma of getting his ass handed to him at a merry-go-round once. get over it, Kevin. Put some dirt in it. Anyways, like, that Pilgrim stuff could have been interesting, you know? But it's not, because he fucking disappears. He just goes away. Even though the only reason the girl is there is because they're on the run. And I don't even remember, because it's been so long. But, like, why the fuck were they running in the first place? Did she have pictures? Was that what it was?
They had pictures of the senator's son being gay and kissing another guy.
Oh, big fucking deal. Your son likes talk. It's Pride Month.
And he was presidential material. So, you know, they couldn't have this get out and ruin his chances of being president.
I mean,
blah, blah, blah.
Was he, though?
Well, we don't know if he was actually presidential material, but we knew it was the family that was behind Pilgrim going after them, you know. And now, how Frank resolved that, because he killed both of them.
Well, yeah.
he killed the one, and then he let the other dude do it himself. Right? I think he killed the wife, and, well, I was happy to see her, because she was just as bad as him. You know, they were the type that They were evil and had no problems with getting people to do their dirty work because it had to protect the brand and the brand
under
of the
family.
Under the
false
all that
guides
shit.
Of Christianity.
Yeah.
Hey, topical.
You know, I had no problem with that. You know, and the son was an innocent. The son knew that his parents were jerks, but he didn't know the lengths to which they were going through. So the son got tortured for nothing.
He got his ass beat like that.
No, but he didn't know. That's the thing that was funny because you knew Frank didn't know, and you knew the guy didn't know. So you just couldn't do anything but feel sad for the son because he had no fucking clue. He just got his ass kicked, and it was nothing. He wasn't gonna get an apology. There was no restitution or anything. The most that they could do was go, here's a bandage. Wrap that up. Hold it tight. Okay, now shut your mouth and go home.
And their proper build-up, those two people, the senator and his wife, could have been excellent villains. And
yeah,
you know, you could have had
agreed,
an epic showdown at the church where Frank just like opens up in the house of the Lord, although that's kind of eerily whatever.
That's a little evocative of Daredevil, don't you think, too? I mean, not that they can't go back to that well, but I'm just saying it's a little...
Well, no, if anything, you know what would have been really cool? Him having assaulted a senator and, you know, by extension, you know, that family and, you know, all the resources that they likely had access to, that could have been a very big fight. You know what I'm saying? I mean, think about that. We're talking about somebody who has connections to the United States government. That could have been nice and messy, but they didn't do that. What they did was they played with fucking Billy for like 7 fucking episodes.
Kevin,
hey now,
Kevin.
That's insensitive. He was molested. You can't say that. Oh, word, okay.
Yeah, he got molested by Frank in that mirror.
Hey. Nah, he didn't get molested. They made love, all right?
That's my problem. It's so unfocused. It's so unfocused. And then you focus too much on Kevin, and so when the pilgrim comes back, it's like, well, why are you here? Why do you matter? Oh, right, because the girl is still around for some fucking reason. Oh, my God.
And that girl was the worst. I mean, honestly, I didn't have a problem with her playing, well, you know, why am I still with you? I'm better off on my own. Blah, blah, blah. That first time. And then she got tripped up. And then Frank came and saved her ass. And then she went back to, you know, went back with him. But she tried to get away from him, like, what, 3 times? And almost every time realized that she done fucked up and Frank had to go get her.
Yep.
You know, after the second time, that's it. I'd have let her ass go. I'm being honest here. You know, Frank Castle is a godly man because I'd have let the fucking bitch die. I hate using that word, but that's what she was. She was stupid. She made mistakes that cost people time and effort and resources. Almost gets Frank killed. No, I hate
easy.
Her.
Rein it in.
I didn't like her. You know, as a matter of fact, I liked the therapist more than her. And she was a nut job who fell for a nut job because...
Well, I found the therapist so detestable, honestly.
So did I. And I liked her more than the girl. So what does that tell you?
I didn't think the girl was that bad, honestly, but that's just me. No, I mean, look, the stuff with Billy, I wasn't as... Look, and this is a smallish thing, but it would have went a long way. You should have really fucked up Billy's face. Like, I get it. He's one of your stars, and he's got the hot, marketable jawline or what the fuck ever. But that was not Jigsaw, okay? Jigsaw was a deranged mafia hitman who took a bad hit from Frank and then decided he wanted revenge.
That's
so,
why
I don't
didn't
know.
Call him that.
I know.
I mean, that is exactly why they didn't call him that, because they didn't want Jigsaw. They wanted to play with it, which is why they gave him the mask, and he kept some scars, but they didn't want the comic, you know, because it's Netflix. You know, Netflix, I think all three of us realize that Netflix will take a good comic book character and then soak it in lie for about 6 years so it's washed out, and then use it in their TV shows because I guess that's what they figure that they can sell. But, you know, they shoot themselves in the foot by doing that. You know, I think Billy could have been a very effective Jigsaw, even if they didn't want to go to comic book depths for that, you know, rift on the character, but they could have done a lot more than what they did. You know, I think that they shortchanged themselves with how they played it out and, you know, how he resulted. That was a disappointment.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, here's the thing.
You're wrong in the story. Bye.
Oh, come on. Look, this has been a consistent problem with a lot of the Netflix shows, which is that they had 13 episodes as well, and yet I don't think a series has really felt as empty as this one has, you know? And there wasn't... I mean, it lacked the substance of season one, obviously, but more than that, it lacked any of the... What am I trying to say? You know, with season one, you had a narrow focus on Frank and what he was doing, and other characters could react to Frank, and that's all well and good. But like you guys are saying, this one split the focus so many ways because now, you know, in addition to that, Madani has to have her own story of trying to do her own thing, and this kid has to have her own story, and there's a side story going on with this pilgrim guy and what he's getting into. Narratively, it was split in way too many different directions, I think, that ultimately is what kind of hobbled it. You know, and it's unfortunate because, you know, John Bernthal was still probably the best Frank Castle we've ever had, without a doubt. So to see him not get a second season as stellar as the first one is really kind of disappointing to me. I didn't mind the kid as much. I mean, that was fine. I mean, who would have ever known that adding a child to a mostly adult story would ever drag it down, right? Not like that's ever been done before, but... You know, the psychotherapist really pissed me off. She annoyed me more than anything else. She was such a fucking, God. And Billy, I thought, was really kind of wasted. I mean, Jesus Christ, was it episode three or episode four, one of those, whichever one where he goes back and he finds his old childhood abuser or whatever, and he basically spends the whole episode just sitting in his apartment getting yelled at by this old fucking man until finally he snaps and kills him. And that is such a fucking waste of a character. You know, there's so much wasted time in this story that it annoys me how wasteful it is. You know, Punisher season one, I forget how many episodes that had, but that went along at a pretty tight clip, didn't waste much time trying to bog you down in all these other split narratives and character point of views and things like that. It just, you're missing, I feel like, and granted, I can't really speak to this, so my criticism, on at least on this point, is going to fall on deaf ears. I don't feel like that's what the Punisher comic is about, and that isn't what makes the Punisher comic great. You know, I don't think that what makes a Punisher comic great is what Frank is doing and how the rest of the world reacts to that and the things that go on. But you can't have it both ways. You can't focus way too much on what Frank is doing and then also have way too tight focus on everybody else. It's not making for a tighter, more seamless story. I feel like, anyway. So, I mean, look, we could all go on collectively all day about kind of what we didn't like about this series, I think. So, that being said, any other major gripes, complaints, anything else you guys want to voice on why this was bad?
Nadani having to fight for her life against the therapist. Nadani, who's a trained FBI agent, had to fight for her life against a therapist who suddenly knew ninja techniques and how to hide in hide in that apartment, and Nadani being scared, visibly being scared shitless because she couldn't find this chick who had cut her twice.
Yeah.
I mean, that fight, that shouldn't have even been a fight, and I understand that they wanted to make it a fight, fine and dandy, but they had the wrong person scared. Nadani should have been surprised, yes, but scared? No, not at all. Especially not considering what she'd gone through and what she was going through. That woman should have had fire in her stomach and ice in her heart while she was, you know, waiting for that chick to, you know, pop back up to do whatever the fuck she was going to try and do. That fight annoyed me.
One more thing, too, actually. I want to get off.
You want to get off? Hey.
Yeah, but that'll happen afterwards. Season one did a very good job of balancing social commentary of the way soldiers deal with their own stress and their own trauma and their own sort of thing after they get out of the service and have to integrate back into civilian life. You see it with Frank, you see it with Billy, you see it with Curtis Hoyle, you see it with Lewis, that little insane blonde kid. So what does season two do with that? Well, you show Russo trying to go to these therapy sessions and work out what he's going through. Okay, that's good. And then you show him being able to turn all these guys into a homicidal army of thieves and murderers. Now, I don't know about you, but I feel like that sort of undercuts the care with which they took to approach a veteran storyline in season one, wherein they show the range and diversity of veterans who, you know, have difficulty dealing with things like holding a job or being in their family's home or doing any number of things correctly. And yet this now becomes a black or white, you join my little rebel army or I kill you. And that's exactly what Billy Russo does. And yes, that's what makes him a villain, but also it drastically oversimplifies an entire narrative arc you worked on to portray accurately in season one, which that's one thing I found really fucking just insulting about season two, is that it really undercut its own attempts to approach that storyline and do it with some level of justice and dignity, and just sort of went, well, we're made for violence, so why don't we all just go maraud around the city? We don't think you should do that. Okay, you're dead. I mean, you're talking about people who bond over the fact that they are veterans. You have people who, you know, Frank and Billy, you know, and for whatever their faults are, they still had trouble hurting or killing each other when push came to shove in season one. I mean, in season one, you had Billy who let Frank go just to kill his torturer, that whatever that CIA douche was, rather than he being complicit in this guy being allowed to torture and murder Frank. And yet, at that same, I don't know, maybe I'm going on for too long about something that overall doesn't matter all that much to the story, but I just found that really fucking insulting and an oversimplification of an issue that it actually handled with some amount of decency in season one. So that really kind of pissed me off.
I think what you haven't yet factored in is money. Money will allow you to get over a whole lot of stuff, especially if you're feeling marginalized. Like a lot of those guys apparently, well, it seemed like that's how they were playing them out to be. You know, they were feeling marginalized. They didn't have a whole lot going on for them. So, hey, guys, you want to make some quick money? You know, and I'm not saying that it was completely legit. I'm just saying that as a narrative piece, that was the 1 + 1 + x = reason. You know, dangling money in front of somebody who doesn't feel necessarily 100% good about themselves usually leads an author to be able to write something in where they do something that most people would probably give like a second or third thought to, and that's what got us the Billy Crew.
You know? I don't know. I mean, I feel like there was a third option that, granted, I'm not a writer, so these guys are, you know, maybe it's something I'm just missing, but I feel like there was another option there that could have been used, and they missed the opportunity. They went for the easy way, the cheap way out, which is funny considering, you know, the money, big bags of money.
Hey, yay, you know? We're pulling off heists, and yeah, we wear masks. Yay. Yeah.
Right, so, Taser, did you have anything else you wanted to add to the gripes section of this, the bad, so to speak?
Yeah, I honestly think that if they were going to put him back in New York, it's nice that they brought Turk in because, hey, he's in New York, let's use Turk. And, of course, they had to bring in Karen because, you know, but to not bring in anybody else, you know, like...
Are you thinking specifically, like, Microchip or, like, what?
No, actually, I'm kind of good with Microchip not showing up because that would have been another callback to Season 1. But I'm thinking Matt, you know, or Foggy, or better yet, how about something, you know, original this time? Hey, let's have, I don't know, maybe Luke kind of get caught up in this for, like, some reason or other. And, you know, it might only be, like, an episode or two, and then, you know, he's kind of gone and done with. But, you know, somebody else. Hell, even Jessica Jones. Why the fuck not? Mm. But, you know, all of these stories take place in New York City. You know, there's little reason why, and Frank Castle being back in New York, and remember, at one point, this became a thing during Season 2, Frank Castle back in New York. So, you know, I could conceive of a storyline where it might have taken him into, let's say, Midtown, you know, or better yet, someplace close to Harlem.
Take him to the docks. I don't know where the docks are in New York, but the docks, you know?
On the west side. Docks. Actually, east and west side. So, yeah, but I mean, you know, something that involved, you know, a shout out to another character. That would have been something. But, you know, they wanted to keep this. Hell, even Kingpin. Why not have Kingpin show up for an episode where he's dealing with Billy because Billy, you know, is trying to do something, and, you know, Kingpin, you know, sits out the word, I'm going to talk to this guy, blah, 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 blah. Some bullshit. But, you know, something that shows that these shows are interconnected, which is what they want you to think, but they don't do a whole lot to promote. You know what I mean? But, well, you know, missed opportunity. And now we'll never see it because it's gone.
Yeah, but at the same time, that's not the people who worked on the show. It's not explicitly their fault. That's just the fault of
the writers.
Well, actually, it's the fault of Marvel and Netflix for, you know, canceling the show. But hey,
in regards to whether the show, they're not. I mean, in regards to how the story plays out, that's a writer thing. Now, I mean, granted, you know, you have to secure this actor and make sure that they don't have any scheduling conflicts and all this other shit, yada yada yada. Okay, yeah, fine. But I think, you know, a little more effort to show shared universe, which is what I kind of liked about the Netflix stuff. I think they could have done that, and they didn't really do that here. They did a few callbacks. Most of the callbacks went to Season 1, and then a few callbacks to other shit that showed, like, hey, yeah, shared universe. You know, again, missed opportunity. So, yeah, Season 2 sucked. Yeah, I'm landing out there. Season 2
sucks. Thanks for relaying the mission statement for us there, Taser.
Hey, pleasure.
There is one more thing I wanted to address in the bad section, but it actually has to do with the actual ending of the series, so if you would be so kind as to indulge me. Season 2's ending, the very last episode, it involves Castle, you know, being MIA again. And what he does is probably the truest realization of the Punisher. He sets up a gang buy, and then he proceeds to mow those motherfuckers down without prejudice. I know we've spoken a lot about how the show covered hot button topics, but this scene I was actually amused by, and I'll try and dig up the article and probably share it on our Facebook page because I thought it was fucking ridiculous. But somebody called out that ending as being very heavily MAGA influenced.
What scene?
The very last scene where Frank sets up the gang buy and then he goes in there and just mows all those dudes down with fucking, you know, twin guns.
Wait, against the crime people, right?
Yeah, against the gangbangers who showed up. Yeah.
How was that MAGA in... What?
I'm gonna... Like I said, I'm gonna try to find the article.
That was somebody who replied to one of our posts, right?
Sorry, what?
That was somebody who replied to one of our posts, right?
No, that was a legit article. Like, I'm gonna try and find it right now, actually. Okay. But, yeah, it was like... It was a legit criticism.
They're fucking dumb.
Yeah, it was a legit criticism leveled against the season by, like, actual people. And I just, like...
Yeah, I didn't think that.
No, I thought...
Frank, like, if Frank was, like... If this Frank was, like, a mouthing racist who wants the border closed, like, sure, fine, whatever. Frank's not that. Frank just cares about killing criminals.
Okay, yeah, here we go. So, the article in question, it was written by Carol Seed, who is self-professed superhero movie lover and a contributor to the AV Club. I don't know if that means she's employed by them, but she's written articles for them. She reviewed the last episode and the season as a whole, and this is basically what was said. All right, here we go. Look, I don't come to The Punisher for nuanced explorations of identity politics, but if the show wanted to end its series on a note of action fun, at least it could do is not center the moment on Frank Castle murdering a bunch of young gang members, many of whom are people of color. That's one of two...
I'm sorry.
No, it's okay, it's okay. That's one of two moments that felt jarringly off in this finale. The other is when Frank murders Eliza and then tells Anderson, I was going to come in here with two bullets and give you a choice, but looks like your bitch wife made hers. The murder itself is well within Frank's purview, but the... hold on. The article just glitched down on me. Motherfucker. Is well within Frank's purview, but the cruelly tossed off bitch wife line feels like something from a MAGA-inspired version of this character, not the one we've been watching. Perhaps those just seem like unfairly tiny nitpicks, but given the razor-thin tightrope the show walks when it comes to defining Frank's morality, I think it's more than fair to hold it accountable for the small choices it makes. And it goes on for there, and I'll post the whole article in reference to this and on our page. But I found that to be the biggest pile of horse shit I think I've ever heard.
Agreed.
Yeah, that's just, it's, you know what the Punisher is, right? Like, you know who the Punisher is. Like, he kills criminals. That's his fucking thing. And I don't know. I mean, part of me wants to say it's just the climate the show came out in, the political climate where everything is under a microscope. But honestly, that just felt like the biggest shoveling of horseshit I ever heard. So, you know.
To claim that, to claim any type of, you know, misogynistic slant in regards to him referring to the mother slash wife in that manner is dumb.
Mm-hmm.
You know what, just because he hadn't used that term before but tossed it at her, somehow that makes it, oh my god, he's got these thoughts. And
go
ahead.
I'm sorry, I just want to tack on the coup de grace to her article, the last bit, which is that if the show wanted to end with some dumb murder feature, dumb fun murder featuring unquestionably evil victims, how about having Frank take out a gang of neo-Nazi white supremacists, a concept this season engaged with so superficially it might as well have not even been there at all? So what, you're okay with them murdering white gangsters or criminals?
Yes.
Like, is that
team? Yay! Kill Whitey!
Yeah. Yeah. That's
show title, Kill Whitey!
Kill Whitey.
Can we make the intro episode Pretty Fly for a White Guy, or is that sort of against?
I wouldn't mind that. I wouldn't mind that at all.
No.
I'm pretty fly for a white guy.
If I wanted to be highly politically incorrect, I'd say that woman should kill herself and kill herself now, but I'm not. Because I respect the rights of an opinion. However, I think that this woman's opinion is wrong, wrong, wrong. Wrong, 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 wrongity, wrong, wrong. It is so wrong, it is Chinese.
I would love to see Frank Castle kill a bunch of neo-Nazis. That would have been awesome. But him killing these, you know, these black gangsters was no any less, like, whatever. He's killing criminals. what he does.
No.
I wouldn't have thought twice about. I didn't think twice about it until this woman brought up the race and identity politics, which is he's like, I'm not the one to bring it up, but and then she goes ahead and powers through it anyway.
Wait a minute, which question. The group of people that he killed in episode one were religious,
like
zealots?
Russian gangsters or something like that. Yeah.
You know. Which is like, okay, as far as I'm concerned, just a step and a half away from, you know, I don't want to say Nazis, but ain't a whole lot of difference. These guys just didn't seem like they cared about
the color of Stalin and Hitler were pretty chummy back in the day. I heard they got along all right. So that's not a too far. That's not a bridge too far. I mean, I agree with you, you know?
Hey, look, all I'm saying is it's not like he didn't kill white people and kill white people by the dozens. Okay.
Exactly. He murders every criminal, no matter their creed or race or
exactly.
what gender.
They showed Frank Castle shoot somebody who was jaywalking. And another guy who was littering.
Yeah.
But no, any attempt at trying to claim MAGA-ness, you know, for Frank Castle, you know, going after... Oh, these people of fucking black guys. I'm not saying people of color. No, fuck you. I'm not doing that. I don't do that shit. He killed black guys. Big fucking deal. They were gangsters. They needed to die. They happened to be black. He happened to have guns. And he happened to want to kill these guys. So that's what he did. That's it. There's no reason for you to look for some... type of socio-political explanation as to why or why it's wrong or anything else like that. Here, this is a quote from Taser. Some fuckers just gotta die. There you go. That's it right there. That's the show title. Some fuckers just gotta die. Punisher season 2.
That is a powerful quote. I love that. Oh, beautiful. Beautiful. yeah, so... That because that I have been sitting on that since the episode or the season first dropped, so I wanted to really get that out of the way, just how much bullshit I thought that was. So, that being said, you know, I feel like we've aired a good amount of grievances, and we could probably go on for longer, but that's
yay, let's go longer,
yeah. and this is usually the portion of the show where we examine. What was sort of dropped throughout as possibly a setup for season 3, but as we spoke about earlier, there's not going to be a season 3, at least not in this incarnation, or probably not for a very long time. Marvel Netflix has been cleaning house. Like I said, this show was canceled a month after it aired, and I think there's a non-appearance thing where they can't do anything else with the character for so many years after the contract ends, as per their agreement with Netflix. I don't know the exact date or how many years it is. I think it's like 2 or 3 years, if I'm not mistaken.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's unfortunate, but this seems to close the book on the Punisher as far as the Marvel Cinematic version, at least for now. I have faith that we'll see him again, hopefully, because I feel like John Bernthal was too good of a Punisher to let go forever. In the same way that I feel like Daredevil should survive in some incarnation. The rest you can do with what you will after all is said and done, but those IP, that's worth saving. But yeah, I mean, overall, I mean, we've summed it up pretty well, but just cursory thoughts and final rating overall. Ben, what would you give the season 2 of Punisher?
1 out of 10.
1 out of 10? All right. Taser, what would you rate the show? Final thoughts.
I'd give it a 2 out of 10 because, and I should have mentioned this earlier, I thought it was hilarious that yet again, Billy showed that he has... Wonder
Kevin.
Genes. That Kevin showed that he has Wonder Genes, where kiss a woman and instantly she's in bed, and there's like a good 2 or 3 sex scenes throughout the season that we get to oogle and watch. So him.
I wonder if that's just not how Ben Barnes lives his life, because he's really just as fucking beautiful as
Billy
Ruth,
though. He's that good looking, and I'm wondering about you right now.
Well, in real life, he also has a British accent.
I could not care less. I'm just saying. I'm not looking
well,
at him
you
like
may
that,
not care
are.
Yet. I'm trying to examine it from a female perspective.
I'm telling Sarah,
David.
Sarah, he's cheating on you in his mind. Shame
she can't
on him.
Hear you. She can't hear you.
But I mean, come on. How? Come on.
I'm not saying you're wrong.
You know, the lead female falls for him, and there's, you know, sheets being twisted up, and they're rolling around and everything, and ooh, look, side boobage, and honestly, I thought the whole sleeping with the enemy thing wasn't bad the first season. This season, really, again, really? So, yeah, I that was just something else that just kind of disgusted me about this season. Bleh.
I hear you.
Bleh.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'll mirror yours, Taser. I'll give it a 2 out of 10. Honestly, it wasn't the worst. I think that honor still goes to probably Iron Fist Season 1 overall.
Defenders.
Was it?
Defenders.
Ooh, yeah. Well, I was maybe individual. I don't know. I want to hold that one apart because I want to try to do individual shows, but that's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah. Okay. So yeah, this was a big disappointment and we probably look at the time of this recording, we only have one Netflix show slated to be released left. That's Jessica Jones season 3. I don't even know if we mentioned season 2.
You did. Yeah, I think you
In a review capacity on the show. I don't think we reviewed it. Did we? Or yeah, no, I did actually.
Yeah,
yes, I did.
Yeah. Because Ben and myself now, passed. So
I would probably just as soon not do another show about Jessica Jones, or I could have not done a show about Punisher Season 2. Once we do the inaugural seasons, I feel like it's kind of optional at that point.
I will come on and let you do 45 minutes and let you talk while I make fun of
you. I don't
want to
drag down
that.
I might just save it as one of my reviews for one of the regular shows and leave it at that. But I feel like we should at least acknowledge it in some capacity because it will be the last of the Marvel Netflix partnership, which, you know, has yielded some pretty exceptional stuff, I feel like. Also some bad stuff, but that's the nature of producing so much content. That is, but that won't be for a little while yet. Our next episode will be recorded on the 17th of June, and that will be our Dark Phoenix review, because that's coming out this Friday.
Looking forward to that movie.
Also, the end of an era, because it will be the very last Fox. Well, not the very last, depending on what the fuck they do with New Mutants. I'm still waiting for it.
Damn it.
I'm going to be like one of those Japanese soldiers who gets lost on a desert island in the wilderness and comes out of the wild 20 years later, thinking the war is still on. Like, where's New Mutants? It's going to drop any day now. They gave it a release date. You know? That's going to be me. When I'm like 40 years old.
Oh my gosh.
But the Dark Phoenix is going to be the last Fox X-Men movie put out, at least for the time being, until that big question mark gets resolved over the New Mutants. That's going to be something that we will do a whole episode for and acknowledge. Although, honestly, I'm hoping it'll be better than Punisher Season 2, or let's be real, any of the other X-Men movies. Probably, I hope it's better than Apocalypse. Jesus Christ. That remains to be seen. We will get to that. But in the meantime, that's really going to do it for us now. And we have some responsibilities in the meantime. You can follow us over on Facebook at the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast. We are a fan page and a news aggregator, which means what, Taser?
We steal stories.
Well, to be fair, we don't steal them.
We steal them like a thief
in the
night. We steal them like Billy Russo steals women's hearts.
we give credit where credit is due, but we give you one single, solitary, dedicated stream of the important Marvel news. In addition to that, we also share memes and funny stuff and sometimes killer artwork, which is pretty rad. And, it can be fun. So give us a like over there and you'll get our posts. Taser, John, and myself are pretty frequent with the updates over there. We're on there almost every day, I think. just about. And also, you can find our home base. We are at the Warriors 3 all spelled out, .wordpress.com. That is our main hub and episode archive, where you can find every episode of our show dating all the way back to episode one, which is... I have never gone back and listened. Have any of you ever gone back to listen to the older episodes before? Mm-hmm. Like the early stuff?
Honestly, I don't listen to anything that I've recorded. I just listen to the shows that I don't do. So,
okay.
You know, but and it's not because I don't want to. I just, well, I did the show, so I know what it was like, you know.
Fair enough. Fair. Well, I would expect you would forget about it like a half hour after logging off. So that's actually impressive.
Forget about what? First of all.
Exactly. Huh? You can also subscribe to us on Apple, because I can't say iTunes anymore, because iTunes is going to be going away soon. I don't know if you guys
caught that. It's still the same fucking thing. God fucking damn
it. I know,
people
I know. But it's
writing eulogies for this fucking thing. God damn it. Will you people just shut the fuck up?
Okay. Hey,
Michael Hyde. Can I do Winamp
now? Holy
shit. Sorry.
That is more anger than you showed all episode.
Long live Winamp.
But yeah, you can subscribe to us on your favorite podcast applications, and hey, if you're feeling generous, you could rate us favorably and maybe leave a kind word in review.
Or send us monies. Yeah, we don't mind that. Send us monies. We take peso, dollar, lira, whatever the Portuguese
rubles.
We take
whatever
gems,
currency North Korea accepts.
You know,
we accept
we take
that too.
Blood diamonds. You know, we'll take a limb.
indentured servitude. We accept
firstborn
contracts.
Firstborn. We love first.
We'll take Indian rubies.
And you can find me personally over on Twitter at no Mr. Powers. That's at @NO_MR_POWERS. Ben, you have stuff to plug. Go ahead.
Twitter.com says Marvelous Iggy for all things me.
Fair. Fair enough. Taser, is there anything you would like to plug, sir?
Sophie Turner.
Hey, she's 23 years old.
Which makes her legal.
She's also married, so there's that.
And?
Yeah, I just thought I'd throw it out there, you know.
Yeah, I got nothing.
All right, fair enough. Also, just as an aside, Taser, while we have Ben here, have you been watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.? Isn't it so good?
I've
been enjoying it.
I have not watched
it. Wrap it up.
Episode,
wrap it up.
It is delicious.
We gotta go.
It is
we gotta
okay.
Go.
How about
you're
this?
Building,
in all
serious,
hold on. In all seriousness, we want to wish a lot of good luck and all of the cares out to the people of Oklahoma and the affected states that got hit by those massive tornadoes and such.
Okay. Tornadoes and flooding, yes.
Yeah,
which
that's
among that rank
business.
Include our very own John. He is.
He's
know.
Dealing with shit, part of, and that's part of why he's not here. So all the feels and a lot of luck to you guys who, you know, been affected by this. You know, there's no other way or better way of saying that. So good luck out there and, you know, stay safe.
Yeah, and we'll have John back on as soon as he is able and comfortable to be with us. He's dealing with some stuff right now. So in the meantime, you have us. Isn't this fun, guys?
Don't you feel entitled and happy?
Whee! You all... Because otherwise it's a man show and I can't do it by myself. Okay, that'll wrap it up. This has been the Mighty Warriors, the Marvel Podcast. Punisher Season 2, not as good as Punisher Season 1. We will see y'all in a couple weeks for Dark Phoenix. Ben, say your tagline.
Fuck you, tech. To the old town road, I'm gonna ride till I can't no more.